Amen. Well, thank you for singing with us again. You get us pumped. I love the way you guys worship. It's just really sweet. So it's good to be back with you. The last time we were here, we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. That's where we were last time, and we just got that passage started, and we're going to keep looking at it. You may remember that this entire section of 1 Peter started back in chapter 2, actually, but verse 13. And of course, Peter's inspired by the Holy Spirit here. This is God's Word. But he's talking about the importance of keeping that submissive spirit, a submissive spirit. And it's really, really important. And we learned that we need to keep that submissive spirit toward everybody, that gracious, submissive spirit. No matter who it is, we need to have that. They need to see that submissive, gracious spirit in us. But especially people that God's put in authority over us. And that can be in the home. It can be at work. It can be at school. It can be in society in general. You know, we have certain people that are responsible for us in a way, and so God wants us to have submissive spirits toward them. And, of course, ultimately that submissive spirit comes from an attitude toward God. You know, we ought to have a submissive spirit toward God himself. And when you think about it, that submissive spirit toward God flows out towards other people. That's the basis for the submissive spirit we have toward other people, because we're learning to be submissive to our Father in heaven, to our God. And he instructs us, of course, to be submissive to one another. So because we're submissive to him, we want to be submissive to each other. And then we saw here in that he gave us 13. We haven't covered them all yet. We're just covering them slowly. But he gave us 13 kind of rapid fire commands here, just little short words that are commands, one right after another. And it requires a little bit of serious meditation. You know, it's not something you can just read through real fast and absorb it. So that's why we slowed down a little bit, and we're just taking each one at a time, just spend a little bit of time meditating on it. And then when he gives us those commands, he concludes by giving us some wonderful promises if we'll just obey. He said, if you just obey, this is going to be good for you. And then he also gives us a stern warning if we don't obey, if we disobey, if we rebel against him. So last time we began looking at these commands, and we looked at the first one, which was a command to stay united, to keep harmony in the body of Christ. And we talked about the fact that we may not agree on all the details. We don't have to. That's all right. We're all different. But when it comes to who God is, we are agreed. And when it comes to the gospel and what it means to get saved through Christ and through grace alone, by faith alone, we know that we're together on that. You know, we're all one. And then we considered the command to be sympathetic, which means we need to recognize our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when they're going through tough times, fiery trials, and when they hurt, we hurt with them. We're sympathetic. We care. And he's going to go on with that theme here in some of these other verses. So with that little review, I want us to read it again. And let's pray before we read it this time. Father, we're about to read your word, and we know that your word is holy and powerful and sharp and perfect. Lord, we thank you for breathing out your word, in this case through your man Peter that you called and made one of your apostles. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this word in your scripture through him that's alive and powerful. And we pray that we would listen well, that we would hear you speak to our hearts, that we would be teachable, and that you would cause us to grow to be more like Jesus as a result of this study we're doing here this afternoon. So please teach us. Please speak to our hearts, and please be in charge of this time. And fill us with your Holy Spirit and get glory for yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's read the passage now. Amen, Deborah, amen. All right, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. He says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, have sympathy, have brotherly love. We're going to look at that in just a second. Have a tender heart. Have a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For, and here he begins to quote from Psalm 34. This is in 1 Peter, but he's quoting Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16 here. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But now he gives this ominous word, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's God's word. Now, the third command is to have brotherly love. Have brotherly love. And it's kind of easy to see how this flows out of that other command he gave us to be sympathetic. You know, we ought to be sympathetic toward each other. That implies brotherly love. As Christians, we care for each other, right? That's what we're supposed to. We're family, right? We're brothers and sisters together. We have one Father. God is our Father, and we're brothers and sisters, so we're part of the same family, and we want to take care of each other the best we can. Sometimes it just means praying for each other. Sometimes it just means encouraging each other. It's interesting that that's so important to God that he gives us spiritual gifts for that very purpose, so that we can bless and meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ with these spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. And let me show you some examples of what I'm talking about. Some Christians are just supernaturally, by God, equipped to teach us. And they can take God's word and explain it to us, and we can learn about God because he's given some people the gift of teaching. And we need to learn from them how to study God's word. And we need to learn from them how to share God's word. We all need to be doing it. They just are gifted to do it better than most of us. And then there's some people that are just really specially, supernaturally equipped to be merciful. They're the caring people. They're the people who are just almost supernatural. Well, not just almost, totally supernaturally. They're tuned in to people's emotional needs. They're very sensitive to people. We call them merciful people. You know, they have the gift of mercy. And we need to learn from them to be merciful ourselves, because most of us aren't merciful by nature. You know, it's kind of hard for some of us to be merciful, but we can watch the people who have the gift of mercy and learn how to be merciful from them, so we can show brotherly love to each other that way. And then some people are just gifted to notice ways that they can serve, and they're very tuned in to little things that they can do to serve other people and meet other people's needs. And it's just wonderful. And many of us are not tuned in like we should be. So God gifts some people so that the rest of us can say, oh yeah, I need to do better at that. I need to be a better servant. And I can do some things to serve other people too. And then there are others that are specially gifted to encourage other people and encourage them to grow stronger in Christ. I believe that's the gift God's given me. I love to just encourage people to grow stronger in the Lord. I love to encourage people to take God's word seriously and learn and keep growing, and encourage you to stay in the battle, that you can do this, that God's going to get us through this. And we can all learn from people who have the gift of encouragement and learn to encourage others. And it might not be easy, because most of us tend to be focused on ourselves, but every now and then we say, wait a minute, I need to learn to encourage other people to grow stronger. I need to encourage other people to stay in the battle. And then some people are gifted to keep things organized. I think that's my wife, by the way. She's an organizer, and they can just kind of keep things running a lot more smoothly. And the rest of us, if we're not careful, we get all disorganized, and we waste a lot of time. Me too. And she can help. People like her, people with the gift of organization, can help us kind of smooth things out, get things organized, get things done. It's a wonderful gift. We need to learn from them how to be a little better organized. And then some people are gifted to handle money well. They recognize financial needs. They know when to help financially. And God gifts them with that gift, the gift of giving. And people that have that gift can teach the rest of us to be generous. We need to learn how to be generous the best we know how. We're generous with whatever God's given us. Some people are equipped to recognize the truth. And they're very strong about that. They know this is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is false. And the rest of us can learn from that. We don't want to get wishy-washy. So we learn from those people to be strong in God's truth. So thank God for those people. And so the body of Christ learns like that, because God's gifted us to show brotherly love, to show brotherly love for each other. The next one on the list tells us to keep a tender heart. And, you know, a few minutes ago I mentioned the gift of mercy. Well, the people that have the gift of mercy love this command. I mean, they know how important it is to have a tender heart. And their heart's tender kind of in a supernatural way. The rest of us have to learn from them. But you remember these people that Peter's writing to here, these Christians, they were suffering some persecution. If you were here when we first started this study, some of them had to flee their homes. They had to run because they were being persecuted. Well, during times of suffering like that, And during times when others are treating us unfairly, or when we're going through tough times, it's really easy for us to fall into a kind of self-pity. We get focused on ourselves because we're hurting. You know, it's normal to be that way. We're not. It's not fun. It's difficult. And so we tend to want to nurse our own wounds. And that, if we're not careful, can lead us to have a little bit of a hardened attitude toward other people. You know, they may have their problems. They got their problems, but my problems are worse. I'm really suffering. I'm really hurting. And so we're focused on ourselves, and we think, well, they're just going to have to take care of themselves. But we need to watch out. And sometimes we can even feel like, okay, I'm being tenderhearted, but I'm being tenderhearted toward me because I'm the one hurting. I'm the one suffering. So I'm going to be tender. No, God says that's not really very healthy. That's kind of self-pity. And God doesn't want us to fall into that pattern of self-pity. He wants us to be tenderhearted, not toward ourselves, but toward other people. That's the whole point here. We need to be tenderhearted toward others. And listen, this is important. When we're tenderhearted toward others, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity when we're suffering for others to say, whoa, what have they got? That's amazing. They're suffering. They're hurting. They're having a tough time. And yet, they care about me. They care about other people. They're being sensitive to other people's needs. They're being tenderhearted toward other people. That's a powerful, powerful witness when we do that. It's very, very powerful. And it communicates the love of Christ. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. Anytime we're suffering, we need to say, Lord, how can I show other people that I'm tenderhearted toward them right now? When I'm hurting, help me to care about other people that are hurting. The fifth command here says that we're to stay humble in spirit. Now, we all know God hates pride, right? He hates it. It's right on the top of the list of the things God hates. And we know we need to pursue humility. But we have to work at it sometimes to realize just how weak and dependent and finite we really are. We are very weak and we are very dependent. And if we can get that in our heads really well, it'll help us to stay humble. One aspect of humility is something we call teachability. Almost everybody I've ever talked to, if the subject comes up, they'll be quick to say, oh, I have lots to learn. I have lots to learn. We all know that. We know it intellectually. And yet, so often, if somebody comes along and tries to teach us something, maybe rebuke us a little bit, maybe correct us a little bit, maybe give us a little bit of criticism. So often we react badly, don't we? We don't handle that very well. We will, who are you to criticize me? I mean, think about what you've done. Look at you. You know, we'll do that kind of stuff. We'll point at somebody else. You oughtn't to be criticizing me. So we defend ourselves. And God says, hey, develop a humble spirit here. And if somebody has something to offer you to correct you or to criticize you a little bit, say, thank you, Lord. I want to learn from this. If there's something here for me to learn, I want to be teachable. I want to learn. I want to be more like Jesus. So help me to have a teachable spirit. So if we find ourselves wanting to get back at people because they've hurt us, God says, that's not a very humble spirit. That's not a very humble spirit. He says, just leave that vengeance to me. I know how to handle it. I'll take care of it. You just be gracious. Keep a humble spirit. Let me say one more word about humility. Humility is not just running ourselves down all the time. Some people think they're being humble when they just kind of run themselves down. That's not good. Humility is confessing the truth about ourselves in Jesus. And the truth is, of course, apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. We're not going to do anything worthwhile apart from Jesus. All of our strength, all of our ability, all of our wisdom, all of our anything we do that's good comes from Jesus. That keeps us humble. To recognize it's not me, it's Jesus. And if somebody says, wow, you did good. Wow, you're doing good. Wow, I appreciate what you're doing. Well, thank you, but really, Jesus gets the glory for this because I couldn't do that without him. That's true humility. So he gets the glory. And humility is not an excuse for not doing what God's commanded us to do. I've known people who would actually say, and somebody's coming to Vicki's mind right now as I talk about this, who would say, well, I could never talk to people about Jesus because I'm too humble. I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? Not talking to people about Jesus is not being humble. Not talking to people about Jesus is being disobedient, you know? So it's amazing how we can get it in our heads that, well, I'm too humble to do anything. No, we need to do what God commanded us to do, giving him the glory and not redefine humility. All right, the sixth command on this list is in verse 9, and he says, don't return evil for evil. And the seventh one goes right along with it, and don't return insults for insults. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember these verses. This is in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." You guys are saying it with me. That's awesome. "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you." Yes. "Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you." Now that's not easy. In the flesh, it's pretty impossible, really. It really is. I mean, how can we do that? It's not easy. When someone hurts us, we want to get them back, don't we? We want to say something to gig them a little bit. And we tend to react quickly before we stop and say, "Wait a minute, God, help me get your perspective on this." If I can make myself just slow down a little bit and get God's perspective, we can think the right way and get it right. Here's a little thought experiment that helps me. If I were standing on the sidewalk and just minding my own business, standing on the sidewalk, and suddenly, without me even noticing that they're there, there's somebody walking around the sidewalk, and they come and hit me, just run into me, walk into me, and knock me down, I'm liable to react pretty badly. "Hey, man, what are you doing? Watch where you're going. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, are you a jerk or something? Why did you knock me down?" Well, I might react like that. Hopefully I wouldn't, but I might. But if all that happened, I got up off the ground, and I looked around at this man, and I was, "Oh, he's blind, and he's lost his cane." All of a sudden, I'd be kind of embarrassed, wouldn't I? "Oh, I shouldn't have said that, because he couldn't see me. You know, he didn't know I was there. So I'm sorry." Well, think about it. A lot of times, the people that say things that hurt us and do things that make us uncomfortable, they're blind. They're blind spiritually. They can't see. And we don't need to get so angry at them, because they just can't see. They don't know what they're doing. That's why Jesus could say from the cross, "He's on the cross. They've nailed him to the cross. He's been beaten to a pulp. They've nailed him to the cross." And what did he say? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And a lot of those people later got saved, you see, because God then opened their eyes to see what they had done. We just have to trust God to handle justice. We don't have the wisdom to do it, and we don't have the authority to do it. It's in his hands. Now, Peter goes on here to say, "But on the contrary, bless." Bless. Again, he's just echoing Jesus' command in the Sermon on the Mount, "Bless those who curse you." And following Jesus' example on the cross, bless people when they say things to hurt. And sometimes it takes a little time, and sometimes it takes a little thought. But one of the most powerful things we can do, again, it's a very powerful part of our Christian witness, is if someone says something to you to hurt you, or someone does something that makes you uncomfortable, that hurts you, makes you feel bad, is to say, "Father, would you help me figure out a way to bless them? I don't know how to do that." And maybe it means just letting them know about something they did that you can say, "I really appreciate the way you did such and such." You may not appreciate the way they hurt you, but you may appreciate something else about them. Ask God to help you see that. Or maybe we can just help them out when they're having a tough time themselves. And again, people will say, whoa, that's not normal. It isn't. It's Christ-like. And we do those kind of things because God enables us to do it. He gives us the power to do it. And then Peter adds these words. He says, "By the way, you were called to this." You realize this? You were called to this. All of you who are in Christ, you were called by God to this very thing. And it's one of those Christian moments that when others can see Christ most clearly in us. When somebody criticizes us, cuts us, hurts us, and we bless them, it's what God's called us to do. It's a way he can draw them and give them great conviction and maybe give them repentance. Can be very powerful. And finally in this verse, he says, "That you may obtain a blessing." Isn't that awesome? You're going to obtain a blessing when you do that. It seems like the reverse, doesn't it? It seems like, wait a minute, I'm getting cheated. I'm getting treated unfairly. I'm getting treated unjustly, and yet I'm blessing them. And God says, well, you'll get a blessing. You'll get a blessing. That's so many times you see that idea in Scripture. It's like a paradox. When we give to others, there's always a sense in which we receive more than we give. That's the way God works. When we die to ourselves, there's a sense in which we become more alive than we've ever been before. When we take the lowest seat, when we're content to be the last instead of forcing our way to the front of the line, there's a way that somehow we always come out ahead, come out first when we decided we'd be last. When we accept being the servant of all, there's a sense in which God says, you're going to be greatest of all. Isn't that amazing? And he says, when we bless others after they've cursed us, there's somehow a sense that we come out more blessed than ever. It's just God's way. So we're going to pick it up here next time. Let's ask God to help us do this. Father, thank you so much for this powerful part of Scripture. And I pray that you'd help us all in here to do better job at communicating brotherly love to the people you bring into our lives. Help us to use our spiritual gifts, whatever you've given us, Lord. Help us to use those gifts to bless others and to communicate love. And Father, please help us to stay tenderhearted and merciful. And especially, Lord, when we're suffering, when we're going through the tough times ourselves, help us to be merciful and tenderhearted toward others. We know that's not natural, Father. We know it takes your Holy Spirit gifting us and empowering us to do that. So please fill us and enable us to do that. And Lord, help us to recognize it when that ugly pride starts slipping into our lives and we start thinking that we're better than others and we start getting arrogant and puffed up. Lord, please help us to stay teachable. Help us to stay humble. When someone has a word of correction for us or a word of rebuke or a word of criticism, Lord, help us during that time to stay teachable and to accept it graciously and to learn and to become more like Jesus. And then, Father, help us whenever anybody does something that may hurt us, help us to learn how to bless them. Help us to figure out how we can be a blessing in that person's life. Again, Lord, we know we need your supernatural grace to do that, so we're asking for it. And we want you to get the glory for it through our lives and draw many people to you. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Let's sing another song, guys.